Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallis Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallis, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or you could join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We just appreciate so much being able to minister to you and your family. We enjoy so much being able to lift up the Lord Jesus and to share in Him with people in our community, and we simply want to work out of a gratitude for what's been given to us, and that's the greatest gift that could ever be given, the gift of salvation. I'd like to wish, if I could, a happy birthday to a few members here at Rallis. First of all, Thanksgiving Day, Mr. Joshua Rich. Josh Rich will be celebrating a birthday on Thursday the 25th. Also, a bunch of guys will be celebrating birthdays on Friday the 26th. Alan Pointer, happy birthday. Jason Scott and Christopher Richardson and Nicholas Richardson. So there's some four fine young men. Maybe Brother Alan's not as young as he used to be. I'm just kidding. I think he's probably younger than me, but happy birthday all those men on the 26th. Happy birthday on the 30th to Henry Metter and Miss Carly Wilson. And those are two fine folks as well, Mr. Henry and Miss Carly. I love these folks very much and love sharing with them about just going through life, just going through this thing that we call Christianity. And here at Rallis, we try to support and to love each other. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts that I've had on my mind. This past Sunday at Rallis, we did not go with a traditional Thanksgiving sermon. We went the way that the Lord impressed upon us. We shared what God had laid upon our heart. But I maybe think that today we could speak of a few psalms and a couple of instances where Thanksgiving was a great key to what was happening in that day and how it applies to our lives. I believe that today God's people can really benefit greatly from being sure to give thanks for all that's around them. I remember having a lady share with me one time. She asked me to come over to her house one Sunday. I used to drive the van for Pleasant Valley. I used to drive that church van, and on one Sunday afternoon, I dropped a young lady off, and she told me, she actually wasn't a young lady, she was on up in years, but she told me to come back the next day, and she wanted to talk to me a little bit about how the Holy Spirit works in people's lives. And I was intimidated by this lady. I knew that she walked very closely with the Lord. I knew that she had a relationship with God that I was envious of, and I wanted to have a relationship like that lady had with God. And so I sought that opportunity to be able to go and to have her share with me some of her thoughts on Christianity, some of her thoughts on the Holy Spirit. And so I began to make my way there to her home, and we sat down and just had a wonderful, wonderful talk. She told me a couple of things that I'll never forget. First of all, she told me to be careful of the Holy Spirit. Be careful with the Holy Spirit, not to do anything to try to always be careful to discern the Holy Spirit, not do anything that might grieve. That's the word I was trying to think of. Not do anything that might grieve the Holy Spirit in our life, because just as quickly as He's there, when we allow sin to enter in, when we allow a disobedience to become the norm for our life, it can leave just as quickly. The joy of our salvation can depart really quickly when it comes to disobedience. So I remember that. And then she also told me there'll be times in your life, and I found this to be true. I've actually experienced this myself, and I know of a couple of other members that have. There'll be times in our lives where maybe we'll be so distraught, maybe we'll be so have such heartache, maybe have such anxiety that we'll forget what to even pray for. There'll be times that we won't even be able to go to the Lord in prayer. And she said, always remember that there is power in praise. There's power in thanksgiving. And whenever you find yourself in the place where you don't even know what you ought to be praying for, you just begin by thanking God for all the things that you've already got. And many times you'll find that that's all you'll want to do. Once you begin to thank God for the things that He's done in your life, once you begin to thank Him for the way that He's worked great things in your heart, then you'll find yourself easier to thank Him more often. I want to share with you, if I could, five keys I think there are to giving thanks. Five keys to giving thanks. What do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? I know many of our holidays now, they're so entrenched in publicity and they're so commercialized nowadays that it seems as if the world has taken the holidays that we have and they use them to make money on. They use them to sell us more items from our stores. They use them to promote things. They use it for anything other than giving you a rest. But when I think of Thanksgiving, many people, they're going to think of eating, sitting around with family, watching football, a long weekend, shopping. I know many men and women will go shopping on Friday. They'll think about, maybe a few will think about the history of the day. Many of them will be glad to be able to spend that day with some of their family. But listen, Thanksgiving, it's much more than any of that. True Thanksgiving is not just a day for food, football, and family. It's not just a holiday every fourth Thursday in November. For God's people, every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day. Now, Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. It does not commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday. It is simply a day set aside to express our thanks to God. Now, the government would fight us on that. There would be other people who would say that it was just a day of Thanksgiving for, they're just not going to mention what it's for because they want to be politically correct and they don't want to give you any idea that our government was actually based and founded upon a Thanksgiving to God. But regardless of what they want to say, regardless of what they want to do, the truth will stand. The truth will stand when the world is on fire. And I thank God that today those men and women came together in that year and they declared a thanksgiving to God Almighty. Did you know that in 1789 George Washington made a public proclamation saying that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. Hey folks, that was the founder of our nation, the father of our nation, George Washington said that. I want to share that again. It's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. And then he recommended and assigned Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, to be a day of thanksgiving. Of course, most of us know the story of the Pilgrims and how they and the Indians of the area had a Thanksgiving feast in 1621, long before Washington's proclamation. Even earlier than 1621, we find people offering up thanks to God. In the Old Testament, we find a song of thanksgiving, and it is Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's actually subtitled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to His people. It's an invitation to join together to acknowledge the great things that God has done. Now, not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thankfulness, but it also describes to us the nature of thanksgiving. So let's just read these five short verses together of Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth, friends, endures to all generations. All generations. In this psalm, I find five key words that describe the essence of thanksgiving. The first of all is in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, friends, we don't have problems, do we? Shouting at a football game, but we very seldomly raise our voice in church. I think that's one of the big misnomers that come along. I know, folks, I bet you would be shocked if you've never visited us here at Rallets, and you would find that during sometime during the sermon, or sometime during the music, sometime during what's going on throughout the service there, somebody will shout loudly, amen. You might even hear somebody cry out, hallelujah. You might hear someone say, glory, glory to God. And I know that many folks wouldn't automatically put that together with a Southern Baptist church. But friend, I've got to tell you today that you're doing something when you do that. You're doing something biblical. The Bible says it's plain for us today to understand that we're to make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Why is it that people today don't shout as they once did in churches? I believe, friends, one thing, the problem has come that people are so worried about respectability that they cannot give praise to God for fear that their neighbor might think they're being a little less than they think they are. The Bible tells us that we are to shout to the Lord and make a joyful noise. I remember a few years ago when some people got shook up in a church preaching along, and the Spirit of God is extremely powerful that day. One gentleman was so moved that morning that he let out a shout. He just yelled out in the middle of the service. And I remember being with Trevor, my son, and we went to a Thanksgiving service one time over at Horse Cave Baptist Church, and several congregations got together, and there was some good preaching going on, and the Holy Spirit of God was moving, and a lady stood up over to our left, and she began to cry out to God. And Trevor was just a little guy, and he didn't really know at the time what was going on. He said, Daddy, if that woman shouts again, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave. Well, I understand why he was scared that day. But listen, I understand now that when the Spirit of God moves on a person, it's in our heart. We don't have any choice but to cry out. It shakes some people up. Good. Our lives are meant to be a joyful call to God. God wants us to be excited about who He is. Just this past week, I saw a film clip of a victory celebration in New York City when World War II had ended. Folks, that celebration was a shout of praise. The war was over. The victory had been won. We need to shout praises to God. I've read the end of the book, folks. I know who wins the war. I know who has the victory. Praise be to God on high. I need to shout joyfully because God has won the victory. We need to be filled with joy and to tell about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think joyful. Joyful ought to be a adjective used to describe a Christian. Secondly, I see gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Folks, let me tell you this. There is a huge difference, as many of you will say, duh, probably. But there is a huge difference between gladness and sadness. When we come before the Lord, we are to do it with gladness, not sadness. There are times when people come to church on Sunday morning and worship almost like they're at a funeral service. I'll tell you the truth. We need to come on Sunday mornings. We need to come on Wednesday nights. We need to come on Sunday nights. Whenever it is that we come together, like we're coming into a resurrection service. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. I need to celebrate that fact because, you see, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men might say, I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Folks, when we come before the Lord, we ought to do it with gladness. A third word is dependence. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Dependence. This verse shows three roles of God. First of all, God is Lord. We are to make Him ruler, master, and boss of our lives. Do you know that today one of the great problems with Christianity is that many people are living it without Jesus being the Lord of their lives? Many people today, they'll want to accept Jesus as their Savior. They'll say, oh yes, I'll take Jesus if He'll save me from my sins, if He'll give me a home in heaven, if He'll save me from the fiery furnace called hell, if He'll pull me out of the trouble and the turmoil of this world, I'll gladly accept Jesus. I would love to have Jesus as my Savior. But today we see, folks, that's more than what's required. It's not simply being able to call Jesus Savior. You must also call Him Lord. Somebody said, you're preaching a Lordship salvation. Yes. Yes, I am preaching a Lordship salvation. I'm here to tell you today that if Jesus is not Lord of your life, He's not Lord of anything. If He's not your Savior, if He's not if you're not who He's following, listen, in the old times, when you call a man Lord, that meant he was your master, and you do what He said. You were obeying what His commands were. And today, many people have fooled themselves because they think they have Jesus as their Savior and they don't have to obey any of His commands. And that is a falsity. That is a lie. That is something that is leading people into a place called hell. That's something that's causing people to think they've got a cheap grace. But that sort of faith can save no one. That sort of faith cannot get a man into heaven. We come to a place where we know that you must be born again. And when a person is born again, it means they've been given a different life. It means they've been given a testimony. It's been given something that the world can't give them. It comes from on high. It comes from a supernatural place. And today, friends, if you're going to call Jesus Savior, you must also call Him Lord. God Christ is Lord. God is God, and we are not. If you spell your name G-O-D, you can do whatever you want to do because you're God of all. God told Moses, I am who I am. Folks, you have no more control over God than you do the weather. God is God and we are not. There must be a dependence upon God. We must look to God to help us in times when we cannot. I just took part in probably one of the most moving prayer services I've ever been a part of. And we had a young lady in our church named Miss Stacy Eisenberg, or she's a part of our church family, and she was having a surgery there. Praise God, it all worked out just as God wanted it to. Everything turned out wonderfully there. But I think about when those people came together. We came together Monday as a church family, and we began to pray. We begin to petition God. We begin to acknowledge the fact that we were dependent upon God. And it only takes standing beside a hospital bed one time, looking over someone you love in pain and hurting and in despair. It only takes one of those moments for you to understand that you must depend upon God, because you do not have any power over the things in this world. You cannot even keep your own heart beating inside your chest. Thank God that He looks over His chest. Children, thank God that we can be dependent upon Him. Not only that, but God is our Creator. Look at the second part of verse 3. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. If you create something, you're greater than what you created. You have every right over that which you have made. I think about old Adam in the garden. I think about when creation came and God began to speak things into existence. He said, for the universe to speak it into existence. He spoke the earth into existence. He spoke and the air was there and the water was there and the animals appeared and the fish in the sea and the sea themselves and the mountains took form and the valleys began to be created and shaped. And when God came to man, He slowed down just a minute. If God had wanted to, He could have spoke man into creation. He could have just said, let there be man, and boom, there we would have been. But friend, God did something very different that day. God began to stoop down. I can see Him now. And He takes that clay into His hands. He wanted to have His hands upon that. He wanted to leave His mark upon mankind and begin to shape that. He began to form it into a likeness of His own image. And not only that, but He took it a step further and He breathed life into the nostrils of that man. We've been created by a higher power. Darwin is not not correct. Scientists today are fooling themselves. People today are telling us lies. They're feeding it through the school systems. They're putting it in our children's mind. It's our duty today to fight against those things and to recall this world and remind this humanity, to remind it that God created man in His own image, and the Creator has power to do what He wants to with the creation. God is our Creator. Not only that, God is our shepherd. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God guides us to the place of security, a place of plenty, and a place of rest. I love Psalm 23. I bet many of you do as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Somebody has rightly said, I wish I would have thought of it first, but somebody said one time, if we are created, He is the Creator. If we are His sheep, He is our shepherd. If we enter His courts, He is our King. And if we serve Him, He is our Master. I am dependent upon God. He created even the air that I breathe. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every beat of my heart. I thank Him for being God, and I'm dependent upon Him. And the fourth word, of course, as I finish today, the fourth word is thankfulness. You can't give thanks unless you're thankful. Verse 4 said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. You see, friends, thanksgiving is what flows out of a thankful heart. In Luke chapter 17, there's a very interesting story. Jesus enters a village, and upon entering, He finds 10 men who were lepers. They stood a long way off and yelled out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, He said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. Did you know that they had not been cleansed yet? They left before they were cured, because the Bible says that as they went along, they were cleansed. Do you know what happened then? One of them, and only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned around and went back to see Jesus. The Bible says that he fell down at the feet of Jesus, glorified God, and thanked Christ for what he had done. Only one out of 10 thanked Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus asked him? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Friends, listen, we need to be thankful to God for what He has done for us. That brings us to the fifth word. That's gratitude. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. 3 reasons to be grateful. The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. The Lord's truth endures forever. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is giving thanks and praise to God when he writes, everything comes from Him. Everything happens through Him. Everything ends up in Him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Romans 11:36. Our praise, our thanksgiving, and our worship need to be directed to God. We need to be thankful for what He has done. I want you to notice something about Psalm 100. In its short 5 verses, look at how many times God is mentioned and referred to. Let's read it again as we close. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Will you close with me today in a word of prayer? Father God, allow us to thank You. Allow us, dear Father, to fall at Your feet as the Samaritan did that day in Luke 17, and to give You thanks for the way that You've healed us, for the ultimate healing that come with salvation, for the way that You've given us a place to stand and work today, Thank you, dear God, for the way that you've put it upon men and women's hearts to be able to give their own lives up that we might stand in a land of freedom today. Thank you, Father, for our families and our churches. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that come with being an American. But Lord, thank you most of all for the old rugged cross and for the blood that was shed upon it that we might be free from sin today. Thank you for Jesus. It's in His name that we pray together. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.